Yeah, because I got two screens up. I'm splitting screens. I have British, Israel.
Okay. Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve, and this is Yahweh's Covenant People, December 22nd, 2017, and welcome to the glorious day of the Invincible Sun, which is actually the basis of Christmas as Catholic Church. If you've listened to our shows on this subject, you know that the original Americans didn't practice Easter or Christmas because they thought they were pagan holidays.
And it only
began to be a regular deal here in America with the Catholic Church, when the Catholic Church started to predominate, you know, and build a lot of churches, etc. Okay, so today we're going to welcome all. Today we're going to do a show on Pastor Alan Campbell's study on British Israel fact or fiction. And I just realized that there's another article with a very similar title, British Israel Fact or Fallacy. And that is by R.K. Phillips, not by Pastor Campbell, but we'll do the one by Pastor Campbell today. And so we're going to do a really quick test. David from Missouri is planning on calling in at about 10 after. We're going to start our conference call, and I'm going to do this right now. Now, if there's an annoying beep, I will have to, you can probably hear the calling.
You will now enter the conference.
Okay, so the conference has started, and that's that annoying beep. So, Pastor Steve, why don't you start the show and start reading and commenting while I get rid of the beep? I'm going to have to call
all
the
right
conference.
Well, I posted the number in the chat room.
Okay.
So there we go. It says, is British Israel a cult?
Must
Reverend
be.
Dunlap, Reverend Dunlap.
Don't let it bother you.
I'm like the roadrunner, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's too much fun. I can't take it. Reverend Dunlap states in the course of his sermon on British Israel that the British Israel theory is dead, God-dishonoring, anti-scriptural, fraudulent, and deceptive lie from the pit of hell. It is every one of these things and more. Now, that's Reverend Dunlap. He makes mention of us in relation to Mormonism and Armstrongism, and includes his message against us as part of a series on the cults. He goes as far as to say, of course, Mormonism and British Israelism are blood brothers. Okay. And at another point in his sermon, he boldly declares regarding identity believers that when people use methods like this, they must also deny the Holy Scriptures. He couldn't make his viewpoint much clearer. Let me say, British Israel is no cult. We have included within our ranks such outstanding evangelicals and gospel preachers as the late Reverend Robert Bradford, M.P., Principal George Jeffries, founder of the Elim Church, and Dr. James Mountain, the great Baptist fundamentalist. Let me put again on record for Reverend Dunlap and all others of similar ilk from, and this is in bold type, what a British Israelite really believes. One, that the Old and New Testament scripture in their original languages, are the inspired, infallible word of God. Number two, in the virgin birth, sinless life, absolute deity, miraculous ministry, blood atonement, bodily resurrection, ascension, and soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asked this question. Are these the words of heretics? Is this the doctrinal statement of a cult? British Israel truth is the purest form of fundamental Bible Protestantism, and British Israel believers will always be in the front line of the battle to defend the honor of our precious Savior and His holy word. Even our opponents have had to admit as much.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have.
A, these are subsections. A, Reverend J. Stafford Wright, M.A., principal of Tyndale Hall, Bristol, quote, I myself could never group B.I., that's British Israel, with others. It would be fair to recognize it as a particular interpretation of prophecy within the Orthodox Church of Christ.
Okay.
Subsection B, Dr. Townley Lord, editor of the Baptist Times. And I quote, from what I know of them, they are fervent and devoted to evangelical Christianity.
Okay, well, that's true, although we only evangelize Adamites.
That's correct. I was just about to break in and say that, but you done beat me to it, Darren.
Yeah, that beeping was just distracting you too much.
well.
Yeah, I finally got rid of the beeping. The only way I could do that was to call in from my phone. And once there's a person, I got to move the phone away from because it's picking up my phone signal too. All right, very good.
I have. Beep beep, you're be nice now.
Yeah, right.
And we got Pastor Dan in there and
right.
Light and
maybe Pastor Dan knows how to get rid of that beep.
Paste in the URL for study while I read.
Oh yes. Okay.
Do that, will you?
Will do. Okay.
All right. I'm gonna read and he's gonna paste.
Okay.
Okay. To Reverend Dunlap and others who wittingly or unwittingly seek to misrepresent us, we would answer in the words of Paul the Apostle, and I quote, but this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, that would be Yahweh, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a quote from Acts.
That's Paul.
24. That's the Apostle Paul. Acts 24, verse 14. Well, I agree personally that the true British, including the Scots and the Irish and the Welsh and the rest, are Israel. Okay?
Yes.
The infestation that has taken place in the British Isles has put non-Israelites in their midst. But those people of pure bloodline over there right now are very much Israel, but they are under siege. They are under siege by the Antichrist Zionist Jew that is running the British Isles. They have crept in insidiously into their government and are flooding that country with the flood of non-white immigrants.
Yes.
And the bloody wogs are giving them hell.
Right.
And raping and rioting. Oh, yeah. And there's no go zones. And it's happening in this nation as well. There are places in American cities where white people just don't dare go.
That's right. That's right.
Muslim sections and black whatever sections and black Muslim sections and whatever. They're doing the same thing here. I mean, it is not.
Yeah, it's an assault on the white race.
Limited. Yeah. It is not limited to the British Isles. This assault is worldwide. Wherever true Israel is and all our Israel nations, this is occurring. And I believe firmly that it is coming to a head. They have bitten off more than they can chew, and they have started a tide of Saxon wrath that is eventually going to overcome and destroy them, because Yahweh has told us quite plainly that we are his battle axe and weapons of war.
Just getting ready to say it's battle axe time.
And people are preparing. I'm not going to go into detail. I don't need to go into detail. If you don't know, you don't know. That's your problem, not my problem. There are people in Israel, real Israel, that are preparing. They're preparing refuge for our people. They are preparing to organize. They are already organizing for what's coming.
Yes.
Now, I'm not advocating violence to go out and do harm to anyone. So I'm not going to get arrested. Okay. I'm not advocating violence. I don't want my door kicked in. I just got out of prison. I don't want to go back. But if push comes to shove, a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
Right. Yeah. And a woman too.
You know? And when a woman too. They can either bandage the wounds or pull a trigger the same as a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look at Deborah.
Deborah who?
Get Deborah in the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She hammered the tent peg through the temples of the evil one.
That was the person, right? Yeah, got him good and drunk, and then put a spike through his head. Yeah.
He got him. Pastor Dan says, don't start the conference until there is a caller.
Okay, so, all right, so that's another trick.
All right, and Pastor Dan says that the beep goes away when you get a caller.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah, I'll have to, just keep on working
with
this.
Well, this is a learning process. This
sure
is our first time.
Yes.
Where this is our first time.
Okay, and not too bad echo or anything like that. It's just the microphone from my phone. I have to put it away from myself, yep. So it's not picking me up twice. All right.
Yes,
so,
I don't think we can. I don't think we can handle you in stereo,
yeah,
Eli.
Right. Yeah. echo chinger. Echo.
Hello. Yeah. Hello.
All right. Okay, so.
Do British Israelites deny personal salvation or Christ's atoning blood?
I don't think so.
Reverend Dunlop in his sermon stated,
okay,
you will not find in the British Israelite literature the deity of Christ lifted up or the precious blood spoken of.
Man.
You will not find that there. That is horse manure. I'm sorry.
God.
And then he says, it's ancestry, not atonement.
Uh-huh. Wow. What a
crock. Mean, they just lie.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just, you know, well, third quote, so many people who buy it, British Israel, have got their mind and eyes of Christ. They have got their eyes on the Son of Righteousness, the blessed morning star, and have their eyes on the star of David. David.
Yes.
The star of David? You mean the star of Remphan? Once again, Reverend Dunlop is trading in fiction, not fact, quoting from what a British Israelite believes, point three. Well, I know a bunch of British Israel guys.
Uh-huh.
And they're straight up Christian.
Yeah.
People. And they believe that Yeshua is a Messiah, that his blood was shed to redeem the
Israel.
People of Israel,
right.
Of whom the British people are Israel, the real Brits, okay? The real Brits. Let's get rid of the bloody wogs and the Katsuhundas and all the nons, okay? We're talking British people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The whole set of islands, the Scottish and the Irish and the Welsh and they're all Israel, the white Christian original population. Before all the British invasion of the muds.
Right.
Okay.
I've never heard anything like this. This is the old canard that we identitarians are somehow trying to be Jews. None of us have our eye on the Star of David. Pastor Dan even did a few shows showing that the so-called Star of David, it's not a reference to David, our ancestor, but some Rabbi David in the Middle Ages. Okay, it's not even a scriptural reference. So this is just an outright lie. I mean, an outright lie. Yes.
Well, what are they? They are of their father, the devil, and their father's works they seek to do. Yeah. He was the father of lies, and they do their lies. And they have white shills in with them.
Right.
We see that very evident today. That there are shills that have sold out and are presenting. They are promoters of this Jewish diatribe. And they have infiltrated a lot of the Jewish Judeo-Christian churches.
Yeah.
We got a hello.
Yeah,
I heard a hello.
You hear me okay?
Hello, David. Yeah. All right. We have David from Missouri. Can you hear us?
Yeah, it's
outside. Very good, very good.
Good evening, Dave.
Yeah, so David from Missouri, he's the owner of AngloIsrael.com, and you want to tell everybody a little bit about that, David, and we're just discussing the British Israel movement at the moment, and also testing our free conference service here. So take it over, David.
Yeah, sure. The website's angloisrael.com, and the YouTube channel is Rev9 Video, as in Revelation 9, so it's R-E-V, the number 9, and video, if you're looking at it on YouTube. So, yeah, I've just been working for the last 8 years or so on, kind of got started with doing Bill Hollis's work on the Anglo-Israel site. There's a whole page there dedicated to Bill Hollis. So that's kind of how I learned the Israel message.
Okay.
At any rate, I spent years learning by typing up all of his stuff. So basically he's got PDFs, a lot of PDF things on that Bill Hollis put together on the Israel message. So I got the domain for that purpose.
Yeah. So some people, David.
We both kind of learned the message by doing.
Yeah. Some people aren't familiar with Bill Hollis. Can you tell them a little
bit
about
it? Well, if you go to Anglo Israel, there's a whole section there. There'll be a link, and you can see all of Bill Hollis's work. And then there's some pictures of him, and then basically everything about his. But he lived in the Woodlands, Texas, which wasn't too far from us. So I just kind of learned that from him. I was studying law at the time, and he was there invited to speak and was telling us about the Farrar Fenton Bible. Most people might not know much about that Bible, but it's a really good Bible. It was printed in 1908. So he was telling us about that, and I started reading that. Ended up buying FarrarFenton.com.
Oh, really?
And kind of helping Destiny Publishers get that. Originally, they had me put it in PDF form and put it on the web form, so I did that. But then later on, they decided they didn't want to do that. Anyway, so I gave them the domain, and they just kind of been managing it. But years ago, they didn't know much about the web, so it was good that I got their domain for them.
Good. Yeah.
So,
okay.
At any rate, they've kind of come into the new world. So I kind of learned the message there and then started, Bill Hollis died some years ago, so I just kind of branched out from there, learning more about, doing videos and stuff. So I kind of started doing, I did a couple of videos on Revelation after I'd been reading Revelation for about 6 months, studying that. And the local church let me do a couple of videos in our classes there around Christmas of 2011. So that's kind of where I started with that. And then I just got really interested. I knew there was a lot more about Revelation that needed to be researched, you know, connecting the dots back to the Old Testament and so forth. So I spent about 7 years or so doing that, looking up went through all the prophets, trying to put all that into context. Because I realized that most of for Isaiah, for example, Psalms especially, they have a lot of quotes in the New Testament.
Yes.
So just recently I've been focusing on that. In fact, I just looked all of those quotes up. There's approximately 275 quotes in the New Testament.
Okay.
So I went through all of those, and that kind of got started because of a series I started working on called Jews versus Gentiles. You know, you and me, a lot of people realize that the Gentiles were actually the 12 tribes.
Most of the
time,
yes. Well,
the point is, I decided that, you know, I tell people that, they just thought that was crazy. So I started showing them some of the different verses, and you know, some of it's very definitive, but some of it is not quite so easily to prove up.
Right.
But since I'd already done this work on the prophets, and a lot of the Gentiles is back in Isaiah, for example. I knew Isaiah pretty good, so I started showing him that, and I just decided it was probably a good idea just to go through all the mentions of Gentiles in the New Testament and then show where those verses go, you know, what they quote back in the Old Testament, and then show the context that they're, there's multiple contexts of Gentiles. Gentiles can be Israelites, they can be non-Israelites, but as far as Gentiles being people who the message of the gospel of the kingdom, for example, was supposed to be taken to, those Gentiles always turn out to be 12 tribes.
Right, it's always Israel.
So,
okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right. But, you know, other times, Gentiles, especially like Isaiah chapter 60, it uses Gentiles in the context of the 12 tribes, but then it also uses Gentiles in the same chapter as non-Israelites.
Okay, yeah.
So that's a little bit more difficult to make your
point. Sometimes can be in the same sentence.
And so that's kind of what I've been doing lately. So I'm getting ready to shoot that video. I've got that all laid out and all looked up. But then when I'm doing that, I realize that what I need to do is also show the quotes and then all the quotes in the New Testament and the context of the quotes, because there's a lot of stuff there people just, I don't think, realize about the New Testament. You really got to say the New Testament and the Old Testament together. So
all right, okay.
Sense, you know?
So can you hear me okay, David?
Sure.
Yeah, you're correlating the prophecies from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and then you're taking quotations in the New Testament about or from the Old Testament, and showing that the vast majority of these quotations are about Israel exclusively, okay, and not of the world at large.
Well, yeah, everything in the New Testament is straight from the Old Testament, and it's all about the 12 tribes. Sure.
Right.
Well, what the real context is, Jews against Christ versus Jews for Christ. They're really Israelites. You can use the term Jew, right. You can use the term Israelite. It means the same thing when you look it up. Christ used Jews as Israelites, so it doesn't really matter which way you say.
Oh, yeah, depending on the verse. Okay, we have a question in the chat room. Jeffrey asks, we were talking about British Israel. Was Herbert W. Armstrong British Israel? Maybe, Steve, you want to tackle that question? Do you know much about
Herbert? Well, Pastor Dan answered it. He said yes. Oh, he sure did. Dan,
oh, okay.
Dan's
I see now, yeah.
Dan's already on it.
Yeah, I'm juggling.
As to the last statement.
Well, I can hear you, Eli, but I can't hear anything else.
Oh, okay.
You can't hear me?
You can't hear Steve?
I can only hear you.
Oh, wow.
No, I can only hear you.
Okay. Okay.
That's odd. Okay.
Well, let me make my statement and have him hold off for a second, Eli.
Okay, and I can repeat it to him. All right, go ahead.
Okay. The context of a Gentile has been used to genericize and confuse. It's another one of the mistranslations where they inserted the word gentilis, which means not a citizen. And they even put it in the Old Testament. It does not mean a non-Jew.
Yeah, right.
It means nation or nations. The word is ethnos or ethne, and it means nation or nations. Now, depending on the context, it can be talking about the nation of Israel or a nation of non-Israelites. You have to read
the context.
The context.
Okay, let me
Dan, Pastor Dan has in
context
there.
Context
is everything.
Right.
He's already ahead of the game.
Sure.
LOL. I love it. Go ahead.
Okay, let me restate what you just said so David can hear it. Basically, Steve just said that the word Gentile is a very confusing term, but it does not mean what the Jews say it means, namely non-Jewish. What's your comment on that, David?
There's three contexts of Gentiles when you go through each verse. Actually, there's a couple of verses that use Gentiles as what I would say is the Jews against Christ or the Pharisees, the leadership, in other words.
Yes.
Then it uses Gentiles in the context of people who were supposed to be converted to Christianity, but it's talking about the 12 tribes, which is what Christ said in Matthew 10:5, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So,
right.
But it can mean all 12 tribes, not just the 10.
Sure.
And then the third context is people who are not part of Israel. You can see that clearly in Isaiah chapter 60 and the verses that are quoted there, but it's not just there. But that particular chapter has 12 tribes, Israelites and non-Israelites. Both are called Gentiles.
Yes. Yeah, again, depending on the context. Okay.
Right. So you have to look up the context. That's what I said. So there's three different contexts in reality.
Right, right. Okay. All right. I see YMLS has posted the website angloisrael.com/Bill Hollis. So people.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's specifically all the stuff on Bill. I just took everything that was on Anglo Israel and I moved it to that section just to keep it all in one place.
Yes. Okay. All right. I don't know why you're not able to hear Pastor Steve, and
I don't hear anything except your voice. That's
okay.
It.
That's a mystery. That's a mystery. Okay. So all right. So that's why we're doing this test to see what problems you might encounter, and what to do about it. Yeah. Okay, so I tell you what, let me just hand it back over to you, David, for a kind of concluding statement, because you can't hear Steve, and so that's that creates a communication problem. So, by the way, let me just, maybe you could tell people about your involvement with Judge Roy Moore and the Ten Commandments.
Well, yeah, in fact, if he found that Bill Hollis link, right below that, there's another link called AVID, A-V-I-D-D, okay. And it mentions about Judge Roy's monument. Well, when I was studying law and all that, my wife was working for American Veterans in Domestic Defense. That was in Houston, Texas. And the Jim Cavanis, the man that ran that, knew Judge Moore pretty good. And they were, a veterans group. And he got Judge Moore to let them remove the monument and take it on a tour around the United States, which it did for about, a year and a half or something like that. Anyway, on the first part of it, it was just Faye, obviously a guy that was working. They had two people lined up to drive the truck with the monument, and one of them got sick and the other one got hurt.
Oh,
and
boy.
Neither one of them could drive it. And this was like all within the last couple of hours.
Oh, man.
When they were getting ready to leave. So they called me up and wanted to know if I wanted to drive it, and I was like, I don't know. I've never really drove anything like that before, but yeah. So I went and jumped in it, and then they got me another driver to join up. We went up to Tennessee where the Scopes Monkey Trial was. So
really?
If you look down there on that AVID link, I've got all those pictures, and that was the that was 2004, I think maybe around August, when we started. So I did the first month, and then I did a little bit more here and there.
Yes.
But at any rate, that's just kind of fell on my lap. I did the one of the best pictures there was in – Mount Rushmore. I was up there. I was at the the big motorcycle rally up there.
Oh yeah.
And,
okay.
Yeah. Sturgis.
Hey, we need to inscribe.
I was at Sturgis.
Right. We need to inscribe the Ten Commandments on Mount Rushmore.
There's some pictures of me and the other driver, and maybe just some by themselves on Mount Rushmore. Yeah.
All
so
right.
Anyway, that was a very interesting thing. So
yeah. I bet that was really exciting.
It's all on my lap, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
anyway,
right.
I'll be doing some videos. If they look at my channel, I'll have some videos up pretty soon that will be pretty mind-boggling. It's amazing, really, what you – I've learned more from looking at the New Testament and looking up the quotes to the Old Testament than I've learned in the last 8 years of anything I've done.
Cross-referencing.
I've learned more from that.
Yes, outstanding, outstanding. So we're looking forward to your work on that subject, all right? So let me know when it's ready to go, when you have it up, okay?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. Okay, David, thanks for calling. And,
you want me to hang up and call back in just to see if that changes?
Well, I suppose we could try that. But if you can't hear Steve.
We'll just give it a shot just to see what happens.
Give it a shot, yeah. Hopefully you can hear Steve.
All right.
Okay? All right, thanks.
All right. We'll give it a shot.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you can see that David has had a pretty interesting life, Steve.
he's on a par. He's been around.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. I think people are hearing me out there. Dan, you hearing me out there all right?
They would have said something if they weren't hearing you. Okay.
Well, I told them that you and I are on Skype and the call is on the phone.
Right.
I don't understand. It may be a little technical thing. Yeah, Dan says yes. He's hearing me fine. It may be a little technical thing. I may have to go through voicemail.
Okay. Yeah, he's back.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, and one thing about Free Conference is it doesn't give you a signal when somebody calls in. I'm going to have to, right? They just come in, right? And okay,
there
David.
You go.
All right.
Can
you hear Pastor Steve? You want to say a few words and see if David can hear you?
Yeah. Hello, David. Can you hear me?
He just said, hello, David. Can you hear me?
No, I can only hear you. That's it. Just
that's
same as
crazy.
Before.
Wow. That's not good. All right. Okay, David. Thanks. We'll have to figure out what's up. I'll have to call the Free Conference people and find out how to resolve this problem. Okay.
Yeah, just get some other people to test it for you. Maybe they're different. I don't know.
He could be. All right. Okay. Thanks a lot, David. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Yahweh bless. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. But, Steve, you were able to hear David fine, right?
Oh, absolutely. Crystal clear.
All right. Okay.
Just beautiful. No problem.
But why he wasn't able to hear you, that's a problem. Okay. All right. So let's go back. So where were we?
Dan says, is Skype tied into the free conference call?
I'm not sure. I just have, I didn't, do you, yeah, it should be. Should be.
I guess.
Yeah. Because, I called free conference from Skype.
Yes. Yeah.
It is tied in. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Curiouser and curiouser.
Yes, yes. Okay, so let's get back.
Jeff Power says, do British Israel believers believe in dual seed line exclusivity of Israelites? Yeah, of course they do.
Yeah. Now, that's true for most of the rank and file British Israelites. However, British Israel World Foundation, BWIF, their official teaching is no, they don't believe in dual seed line, and they also believe that the Jews are the tribe of Judah.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's the official position of British Israel World Federation and several other British Israel groups, okay? There they differ from Christian Identity. Nobody in Christian Identity believes that the Jews are Judah.
Okay. No.
Yes.
No, they do not.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's get back to the British Israel fact or fiction. And do you remember where you left off?
What a British Israelite believes, point three.
Okay.
Okay. We read that salvation is available to the individual by grace through faith alone, and that except a man be born again, it should be born from above.
Right.
He cannot see the kingdom of God or right. Yahweh.
And I would also stress the word faith really should be faithfulness. Faith, it's not just belief, it's what you
right.
do with your
because
belief.
Because the devils believe. In
yes.
Right. But they sure aren't faithful now, are they?
Even the devils believe, but the Jews don't. Mm. All right. Yeah. Please continue.
Those are lesser devils. Well, they are.
Devils in shoe leather.
Devils in shoe leather. The membership application forms of the three main recognized identity movements in the British Isles, the British Israel World Federation, which you just mentioned, the Covenant People's Fellowship, and the British Israel Bible Truth Fellowship, all make personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, a prerequisite for membership.
Absolutely.
Sure, you can believe British Israel truth and not be saved, just as you can support the stand of the Free Presbyterian Church and not be born again or born from above.
Right.
They keep using that born again
yes.
deal.
Yeah, I don't think Pastor Campbell was up to speed on that one. But yeah, please continue.
No, a lot of people are not.
Right.
That's one of the main points of deception in the churches today.
Right, exactly.
However, in neither case can you be in membership. Let me bury this blatant lie. Let me lay it to rest once and for all. We do not believe that being born a flesh and blood descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will save you.
That's race is not enough.
That's right.
Race
Jesus
plus grace.
Rightly stated that race is not enough.
That's right.
Because there's a lot of people of the right race that are going down.
That's right.
And I say
already
that
down.
All the time. I take Israel to task
right.
often. My view on that is very plain.
That's right.
This is quoting Yeshua, and I say to you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom, flesh and blood Israelites, but unrepentant, shall be cast out into outer darkness, and that's Ouch. Matthew 8,
Ouch.
13. A lot of people aren't going to make it.
Yeah. That's they into outer space.
They believe, but yeah. they won't repent. They won't change their ways. They're still going to do what they want to do. They're in the world and of the world. They have heard the message.
Yes.
And we're gathering the true remnant, those that act on it, slowly. All the people that are on EFR, all our preachers, are okay. adding to that remnant weekly.
Yes.
That's the work we're doing, and it is a slow process.
Yeah.
We're not going to get the floods that Joel Osteen gets with his prosperity gospel and all that horse manure. We're getting quality, not quantity.
Right, there you go. All right, Jeff asks, how does the 144,000 in Revelation tie in with Christian identity? That's a great question. Why don't you take that, Pastor Steve?
Well, the 144,000 will be those that the enemy forces take in the very last day, toward the end of the battle, before they're completely smashed, and they're going to execute them. That's what I keep trying to tell people. This is not going to be a free ride, folks. There are going to be those of us that go down in this.
Okay, but
okay?
the
way many and many, many have already gone down. That's what people need to realize. There are many martyrs
mm-hmm.
that were part of our movement. All those that preached
okay.
the truth and were killed.
Okay. Well, Paul also says that there will be those of us who will be transformed without having to taste death. Okay.
Yep. There's going to be a lot that do not suffer the first death.
Right. So, but in essence,
as Enoch was taken, he did not suffer the first death.
Right, and also Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah did not suffer bodily death either. He was transfigured.
Yes.
So yeah, and I think many of us who are still walking the earth today anticipate that restoration and transition from this flesh body into the immortal body. As a kind of trip, you know.
Well,
wow, that was that's some tripping, baby. Yeah,
I must say that with all that's going on and the accelerated development of the efforts of the Antichrist, that the time is getting closer and closer. It's snowballing. And you know what happens when a little snowball rolls down a great big mountain and it gathers and goes faster and faster and faster, and then it's a great big, huge avalanche later.
Yes.
Okay? Well, that avalanche is fast approaching. And
right.
we preach, but the ones that are denying and are holding off, they're going to run out of time. We can only teach and preach the word. And all of us are fervently doing that, exhorting to righteousness. But there are going to be a lot of people, well, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow's not going to come someday. That's what they do.
Tomorrow never comes.
we try to tell people.
Right.
And lead them to water, but they don't want to drink.
Right,
so.
Right.
All we can do is persevere and keep on keeping on and teach the word.
Right.
And if we gather one because of what we've said, because this is Yahweh's word, not ours, and it does not go out in vain.
Yes.
If one comes over, we've won a great victory. What is that soul worth?
Right. Oh, yeah.
What's your soul worth to you? What's it worth? What's mine worth to me? Wow. Yeah. You know,
well, he promises eternal life to the overcomers.
That's right.
Not to anybody.
Israel means. Okay. If you look up the definition of Israel, you will overcome with El or as an El.
Yeah.
We will become divine beings again as we were in the beginning before Adam and Eve and the sin. Okay? Right. We lost that immortality.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Yeshua is going to restore that to his faithful. And to the others, it will not be restored.
Right. And I think Jeff wants a little bit more explanation. It's very obvious that since the New Jerusalem has 12 gates, and each one of those has the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and there's 12,000 from each of those 12 tribes, that's where we get the number 144,000 from, so that the New Jerusalem, which will be the headquarters of the eternal kingdom, and that's coming down to this planet. This whole planet is going to be transformed, not just us.
His kingdom come.
Yes.
It's coming here.
We're not going there. We're not going up to heaven. Heaven, the whole universe is going to be changed, right? And this is going to be the headquarters of the new heavens and the new earth.
Yep.
That's how I see it.
You won't be able to buy a pulled pork sandwich either.
That's right. So not that the other races will be destroyed necessarily, but they will continue to exist as they are now as mortal beings.
Hewers of wood, drawers of water. They will be subjugated under the Israelites.
Right. And Yahshua will be ruling with an iron rod. Okay.
That's right.
That's what we anticipate. All right. So, does this deviate from standard Christian orthodoxy, Pastor Steve?
I'd say there's they welcome every Tom, Dick, and Harry and Mutt and whatever else. They're looking for numbers for donations. That's all it's about. It's a business.
$144,000.
It is a business proposition.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's what they teach in their seminary schools. It's mostly business administration.
Right? That's right.
Well, I hate to say
that. The faith-driven church, sorry.
No, they have faith in the Federal Reserve. Whatever.
Yeah. And our Lady of Perpetual Debt, right? All right. So, I would say Pastor Campbell is dead on when he says that he's talking about British Israel, that those who believe in British Israel believe in all of the basic Christian Orthodox, foundational beliefs without any doubt. They do. Okay. And I'd say even more seriously and more strongly than the non-CI, non-BI denominations. Wouldn't you agree?
Well.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's see what he says.
Yeah. Dr. Paisley, he mentions now.
Yeah, Dr. Paisley, preaching on the very text that I personally came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ on 19 September 1965 in the old Raven Hill Free Presbyterian Church. We make it crystal clear in our sermons and our publications there is only one way of entry into God's kingdom, to repent and trust in the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus shed on Calvary. I'm not going to modify this. I'm reading what he says.
Yes.
Okay? We believe the new birth is a necessity, and with Peter, we would proclaim to all who hear this sermon or read this book that you must, quote, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38. Well, I was baptized in a river, full immersion, in the name of Yeshua Messiah.
Amen.
And in the name of Yahweh.
All right.
Not God or Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah, right.
We could tell Reverend Dunlop of many who, coming to realize that they were literal flesh and blood Israel, also came to see the need to make their calling and election sure by trusting in the finished work of Christ alone for salvation.
Right.
Furthermore, while I cannot be responsible for every British Israelite, let me make it clear that in the 9 years that we have been publishing booklets on the kingdom message, we have never yet failed to exalt the Lord Jesus, emphasizing his deity, his blood atonement, and the necessity of personal salvation.
Okay, is that clear?
He doesn't. He makes redemption available, now this is me speaking,
okay,
to all of Israel. But the individual needs to make that commitment.
Right. Yeah, I
you
mean...
You must be born from above, not born again.
Mm-hmm.
So only a child of Elohim, or Yahweh, is capable of receiving this. And if you are a beast of the field, you're not going to get it, no matter how nice you are. It doesn't matter.
Now,
it doesn't matter
used,
whether you believe.
Now, he uses the expression new birth, okay, which I think he's just restating born again. But yeah, that's obviously a fallacy. The scripture doesn't say you must be born again. It says
that's
born from
correct.
Above. But Paul does use the expression converted. Your mind must be converted. And if you don't, in fact, let me quote Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. And verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, which is strepho, to twist, that is, turn quite around or reverse, and
that's
become
right.
as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
You need to divest yourself of the baggage
that's
of
right.
Judeo-Christianity.
Amen.
And be as a little child and learn anew of the true word of Yahweh.
Right. And here's
and
a good one.
And calling on Gawad and the Lawad is a waste of your time.
Yes, yes. And here's a really good one, Mark 4:12, because this is one of the passages that said that in which Yahshua says, I'm not interested in saving everybody, that seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. He's saying that certain people may see but not perceive, and hear but not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So as in Matthew chapter 15, I don't want to convert these people.
And none comes to the Father unless he calls them.
Right.
And there are some that are so far gone, or so wicked in their ways, or impure, that he's not going to call them.
Right, right.
Oh, but he loves everybody. No, he doesn't. Scripture
right.
does not say that.
And Paul
that's
verifies
church,
it?
That's,
yes, yes.
That's churchianity that
Amen.
Says that nonsense, because they don't want to hurt their collection plate. Because right. it's a business. Well,
you think they're going to turn their collection
business.
Plates upside down?
It's a business.
Right. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. This is Paul speaking. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh. Acts 3:19.
Yeah.
Doesn't That's say right. you're saved at Calvary. It says so. You must still repent and be converted
it
to
requires,
what?
It requires action on your part.
That's right.
That's the right. act of Yeshua Messiah of giving up his earthly life and then 3 days later taking it up again in a perfect body. That body had none of the stuff done to it there. It was healed. In the 3 days, he did not see corruption. He did not rot. That dead body did not start to decompose.
Right.
Because in the Middle East, with all that heat, with the flies
yes.
and all the other stuff that would have laid maggots on a regular dead body, Well, right. It would have decomposed. He would have been maggot-ridden and stink.
That's right. That's
Didn't
how it works.
Yeah,
right.
He was translated during that point.
Oh,
that body.
Oh.
That he was perfected again,
right.
And the stone was rolled back by a messenger of Yahweh. Because men, once they rolled that stone, it went down into a depression, went clunk.
Yes.
And that was a locked door.
Oh yeah.
And men couldn't raise that, but a messenger just waved his hand, rolled.
Oh, it was even, there were iron spikes on both sides of the stone that held it in place.
Yeah.
And it's been shown that those spikes were sheared off by a tremendous force that could not have been done by a human being. The force that sheared those spikes is just unbelievable.
Oh, ye of little faith. It's 9:56.
Yes,
it's
okay.
It's 9:56 and a little more.
Yeah,
and
this is a great study.
And we're going to have to cut her off here.
Yeah, this is a great study. It's always worth it to say what outsiders are saying about us. The lies they're telling about us are just incredible. Absolutely incredible. So,
well, we'll continue this on. We're not going to abandon this. This is juicy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Real meat.
Yeah,
meat
and
here.
Greg may still be out of town, so we may just pick this up again next week because it's a really worthwhile study. So, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks to David for calling in, and we'll get this worked out so that we can have more people calling in and we can all hear each other. We'll get this worked out, folks. So, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. Say goodbye, Pastor Steve.
Shalom aleichem. Love y'all.